For 3 days, Colonel Stephanus Kayser limped along, leaning heavily on the staff that Captain Kurtz had cut for him, supported on the other side by Hoffel, one of the Hottentot troopers. The trail was endless, steep descents followed by treacherous uphill stretches on which the loose round scree rubble rolled underfoot. An hour before noon on the third day of the march, Kayser could go no further. He collapsed with a groan on a small boulder beside the game trail they were following.
"Hoffel, you useless bastard, pull off my boots," he shouted and offered one of his feet.
Hoffel struggled with the large, scuff, dusty boot, then staggered backwards as it came free in his hands. The others gathered around and stared in awe at the exposed foot. The stocking was in bloody ribbons. The blisters had burst, and tatters of skin hung from the open wounds. Captain Kurtz blinked his pale eyes. His eyelashes were colourless, which gave him a perpetual bland stare.
"Colonel, sir, you cannot go on with your feet in that condition."
"That's what I have been telling you for the last 20 miles, you gibbering idiot," Kayser roared at him. "Get your men to build me a carrying chair." The men exchanged glances. They were already heavily burdened with the equipment Kayser had insisted they carry back to the colony, including his English hunting saddle, his folding camp chair and bed, his canteen and bedroll. Now they were about to be accorded the honour of carrying the colonel himself.
"You heard the colonel," Kurtz rounded on them. "Richter, you and Larisch find 2 cedarwood poles. Use your bayonets to trim them into shape. We will tie the colonel's saddle over them with strips of bark."
The troopers scattered to their tasks. Kayser hobbled on bare, bleeding feet to the stream and sat on the bank. He soaked his feet in the cold, clear water and sighed with relief.
"Kurtz!"
he shouted, and the captain hurried to join him.
"Colonel, sir!"
He stood to attention on the bank. He was a lean, hard man with narrow hips and wide, bony shoulders under the green baize tunic.
"How would you like to earn 10,000 guilders?
Kayser dropped his voice to a confidential tone. Kurtz thought about that sum of money. It represented almost 5 years' pay on his present level, and he had no illusions about climbing higher up the military ladder.
"It is a large sum of money, sir," he said cautiously. "I want that young bastard Courtney. I want him as much as anything I have ever wanted in my life."
"I understand, Colonel," Kurtz nodded. "I would like to get my hands on him myself." He smiled like a cobra at the thought and clenched his fists instinctively at his sides.
"He is going to get away, Kurtz," Kayser said heavily. "Before we ever reach the castle, he will be over the frontier of the colony and we will never see him again. He has made a jackass of me and of the VOC.
Kurtz showed no sign of distress at these trespasses. He could not prevent a bleak smile reaching his thin lips as he thought, "That's no great feat. Doesn't take a genius to make a jackass of the colonel." Kayser caught a glimmer of the smile.
"You too, Kurtz. You will be the butt of every joke of every drunkard and whore in every tavern in the colony. You will be buying your own drinks for years to come."
Kurtz's face darkened into a murderous scowl. Kayser pressed the advantage.
"That is Kurtz, unless you and I can see to it that he is captured and brought back to give a public performance of the rope dance on the parade outside the castle."
"He is taking the robber's road to the north," Kurtz protested. "The VOC cannot send troops after him. It's outside their suzerainty. Governor van de Witten would never allow it. He could not flout the orders in Council of Het 17.
"I could arrange for you, my fine fellow, to take an indefinite leave of absence from the company service. Paid leave, of course. I would also arrange a travel pass for you to cross the frontier on a hunting expedition. I would give you Thier and 2 or 3 other good men. Richter and Larisch, perhaps. I would provide all the supplies you needed."
"And if I succeed? If I capture Courtney and bring him back to the castle?"
"I will see to it that Governor van de Witten and the VOC place a bounty on him of 10,000 guilders in gold. I would even settle for his head pickled in a vat of Brannevein."
Kurtz's eyes widened as he thought about it. With 10,000 guilders, he could leave this godforsaken land forever. Of course, he could never return to Holland. He was known by a name other than Kurtz in the old country, and he had unfinished business there that might end on the gallows. However, Batavia was paradise compared to this backward colony on the tip of a barbaric continent. Kurtz allowed himself a fleeting erotic fantasy. The Javanese women were famous for their beauty. He had never developed a taste for the simian-featured Hottentots of the Cape. Moreover, there were opportunities in the East for a man who was good with a sword and gun, who did not flinch at the sight of blood, and even more so if he had a purse of gold guilders on his belt. "What do you say to that, Kurtz?" Kayser interrupted his daydreams.
"I say 15,000.
"You are a greedy fellow, Kurtz. 15,000 is a fortune."
"You are a wealthy man, Colonel," Kurtz pointed out. "I know that you paid 2,000 each for Trueheart and Frost. I would bring back your two horses along with Courtney's head."
At the mention of his stolen horses, Kayser's sense of outrage, which he had managed to hold under tenuous control, returned in full force. They were two of the finest animals outside Europe. He looked down at his ruined feet, the pain in them almost as bitter as the loss of his horses. Yet 5,000 guilders out of his own purse was indeed a fortune. Kurtz saw him wavering. He needed only a gentle push.
"Then there is the stallion," he said.
"What stallion?" Kayser looked up from his feet.
"The one who beat you at Christmas. Drumfire. Jim Courtney's stallion? I would throw him into the bargain."
Kayser was weakening, but he set one last condition.
"The girl. The convict girl. I want her also."
"I will have a little fun with her first."
Although his lean, hard features were impassive, Kurtz was enjoying the bargaining. "I will bring her to you damaged but alive."
"Huh, she is probably damaged already," Kayser laughed, and will be more so when that young Courtney Ram is finished with her. I want her only to make a good show on the gallows. The crowds always love to see a young girl on the rope. I don't mind what you do to her before that."
"We have an agreement, then?" Kurtz asked.
"The man, the girl, and the three horses," Kayser nodded. 3,000 each, or 15,000 for all of them."
There were 10 men to share the labour of carrying the colonel. A team of 4 was changed every hour, timed with Kayser's gold watch. The saddle was in the English style, but the work of one of Holland's finest saddle makers. They secured it in the centre of the carrying poles. Kayser sat at ease with his feet in the stirrups, while 2 men at each end lifted the poles onto their shoulders and walked away with them. It took them 9 days to reach the colony, the last 2 without food. The shoulders of the men were sadly galled by the weight of the poles, but Kayser's feet had almost healed, and the enforced diet had slimmed down his belly and bulk. He looked 10 years younger.